The one I'm going to teach tonight is about faith, because that's what I felt that we needed to hear tonight. Amen. Let me turn off this light. Now, this is a lesson I taught some years ago, but you know what? We learn through what? Repetition. That is hearing things over and over again, and that's how we learn. That's how they make millions in music, you know, because they make a song with a what they call a hook, and all you do is have to hear it, and that part that goes over and over again gets stuck in your brain. And even if you don't like the song, you keep hearing it. So today we're going to hear something from the Word of God. We may have heard it before, but I hope it gets stuck in your brain. Amen. Because that's how we will be able to recall it and to be able to pull out that word when we need it. And my verse for this lesson is taken from Luke 9. And it's about receiving dominion. Receiving dominion, faith, and authority. Luke 9:1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Now, this must have been something special. They had been with him for quite a while at this time. So they had already seen miracles. They'd already seen the operation. They already had believed in him, actually, because we know that from the book of Luke, when the Bible says he already had disciples before he had done his first miracle. Because it says he came to the wedding at Cana, right? He and his disciples came to the wedding at Cana. The Bible tells us at that time he had not done one miracle. That means they must have been following him based solely on his word. People today want to follow these preachers upon their miracles. They heard someone get healed, so they're going to show up. But these disciples were following Jesus based upon just his word up until the time of Cana, because the Bible said that this was his first miracle. So the disciples must have had faith. They must have had a measure of faith. But we see that to do what they needed to do to be sent out, they had to be equipped not just with faith, and this is what I want to point out to you tonight, but they also had to be given authority. And this makes a difference in certain circumstances. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You know, most of us are really in the stead of Peter. Luke 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Did you know Satan wants to have you? "And he will try very hard." He knows exactly the circumstance to create to sap your faith. "And the Lord said unto Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." And I put a picture there of how they would sift wheat. Back in those days, the way they separated the grain, they would need to find two things. Anyone know what the two things are to sift grain that you needed? That's right. You needed the wind and a high place. So the sifting place was always a high place where they would take the grain to be sifted. And they also needed it to be a windy place where the wind blew. And so what they would do, they would bring the sheaves up onto that flat piece of ground, and someone would take a winnowing fork, like you see in that picture, and throw it up into the air. And the grain, because it was heavier than the chaff, would fall to the ground, but the chaff would blow away. And Jesus used this illustration of what Satan wanted to do to Peter, but I think it's applicable to us too. He wants to take you to a high place, and he wants the storms of life to blow you away. That's exactly what he wants to do. And the attack is going to be on your faith. Because it's without faith, the Bible says it's what? Impossible to please God. So if he can take our faith already, that means that we're walking non-pleasing to God. We're walking in doubt. We're walking in unbelief. So if he can bring circumstances to cause doubt, to start to take away your faith and your belief and your trust, then he's already got the battle halfway won. And he knows how to do that. He knows how to make you feel alone. and like God has forsaken you. And it's just like I taught, I think it was Sunday, that even Jesus had to experience that on the cross. He had to come to the point to feel as we feel sometimes, God forsaken. It seems like you've prayed all week, you've done everything, and yet the answer has not come. It just feels like heaven is silent. But here's the thing, and when I used to read this, I used to say, well, Jesus, do more than just pray. Just tell Satan he can't have him. But all Jesus said was, I pray that what? Your faith does not fail. That tells us that what we're going to have to protect us is our faith. That's why Paul in Ephesians said, take the shield of faith. It's our faith that is going to protect us. We are in this world, and sometimes God is not going to come down and absolutely stop whatever it is. But if we have faith, despite what the situation looks like, despite how hopeless it is, and I've been through some totally hopeless situations. That's why I'm smiling. Some of them I can't even tell you. But how God came through in hopeless, life-changing situations and changed the situation. I think I told you one before when I was at college and I had failed this exam. And if I hadn't passed the exam, I would have been out of college. And you know that God engineered it so they set up this whole examination just for me. Just for me so I could retake it for the third time. That had never happened. But if I had not gotten that opportunity, I would have lost my scholarships, I'd have lost everything. And God did it to show me that it's not about me being smart. It's all about him. So Satan will bring circumstances into your life to throw you up in the air and let the wind of life blow you away. But here's what Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I think it was that second part that really came back to Peter's memory after he had denied Jesus. Do you know, there's going to be times when we deny Jesus. We'll all say in church on Sunday, I'll never deny you. Isn't that? But we deny him when we let people go into our lives and out of our lives without once ever mentioning Christ. Did you know that that's denying him too? Going to be silent tonight. But I'm telling you, that's why we can all admit that there's been times and we've not witnessed when we've been told to witness. When we've said, no, I can't speak to that person. Look at them. It's true. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, not many hours after that, said, I don't even know him. I don't know. And then he finally cursed, I don't know him. And then the cock crowed, and it came back what he had been warned. You know why this happened? To teach Peter and to teach us, we cannot fight on our own strength. We can make up our mind all we want. I'll never deny you. But unless God's Spirit helps us, we are flesh. We are flesh. But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hebrews 11, verse 6, which is the chapter on faith. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The true trust in God is when we cease our own work. When we stop trying to work and totally trust God. And it's a hard thing because most of us are conditioned to not get anything for nothing, right? Immediately if something looks to be too good, something's wrong here, right? If it looks to be too good, look, I'm giving you $1,000. Just here, come take it. Everybody's going to say, what's the catch? Jesus has given us salvation. And a lot of us find it hard to just accept God's grace. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know what's been happening to me these past few months? This verse has been coming to me more and more. I've realized something in praying that it was unconscious, but I'd like you all to start trying it. And that is to keep praying for the same thing. Now, that's not a lack of faith if you haven't had an answer, right? That's what Elijah did. It hasn't rained yet? Okay, I'm going to pray some more. Do you see any rain? No, I'm going to pray some more. See any rain? No, I'm going to pray some more. He did it 7 times. That wasn't a lack of faith. It was diligently seeking him. And what I have found in the last, I don't know, year, that things I pray about every morning, it's not a long prayer, I just mention them 1 or 2 times, I start to see things happen. You know, we give up. Daniel kept on fasting and praying for 21 days. And if he had quit on the 20th day, who knows? But when the angel came, he said, from the very first. So it's not about God hearing, but the Bible says we wrestle not against what? There are spiritual forces that can be holding up your answer, that are fighting the messenger. Did you understand that? But when we pray, we're helping in the spiritual realm our messenger. And that's why it says diligently seek him. It's also a test of whether we believe it or not, to be diligent. If you really believe something, you're not going to give up. If you really believed, I don't know how many of you have gardens, but if you really believed and came across some piece of paper, you were searching your house, and you came across some piece of paper that said, under the third post, 30 years ago, I buried a pot of gold. If you really believe that, you would get a flashlight tonight. If you don't have one, you'd stop by Walmart, pick up a flashlight and a shovel. See, belief necessitates action, right? If you really believe that there was, you know, a couple hundred thousand buried in the back, you know, you came across, you were cleaning the house and something fell out from behind the wall and it was a diagram and it had 100,000 and you realized it was in your garden, what would you do? Would you go look? I'm the only one who'd go look? Okay. Right. So belief necessitates an action. Diligently seek him. So the belief is the very first step in having power with God. That's what the scripture says, that you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, in Romans 12:3, Paul speaks about a measure of faith. And what I was trying to point out to you is that when the disciples came to Jesus at first, they had seen no miracles. They just were following him based upon what he had said. And in Romans 12:3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I highlighted the yellow. It says, to every man, the measure of faith. And that's how the King James translated it. And the way they translated it, it would seem as if everyone was given the same faith, the measure of faith. But in the Greek, there isn't the there. It really should have been translated a measure of faith, because let's be honest, some people have more faith than others. But what God is saying is that everyone has been given some measure of faith. And so you can get stuff done based upon the measure or a measure of faith that you have. You understand what I'm saying? The disciples already believed Jesus before they had seen a miracle. But to get to the next level, he had to actually give them something more than the faith they came with. They had to receive authority and dominion. Are you following me? I'm saying that everybody who comes has faith, but that faith may not be enough. It may not be enough unless you have received dominion and authority. That's the point I'm making. Where is boasting that is excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. That means the Bible says that faith is a law. That's why you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Spirit to get certain things done. The Bible has given a measure of faith to everybody. If they exercise that faith, it's just like the law of faith, just like the law of gravity or the law of electricity. I don't have to understand how it works. If I believe it works, I can use it to get things done. Now, maybe there's many of us here who use a lot of stuff. We have no clue how it works, except we turn the switch and it works, right? But we don't need to know that other than we know that how that it works by obedience. It works by obedience. If I want to have light, I know if I go to the switch and turn the switch, it should come on. So the Bible says that there is a law of faith. That's why there were people, and there will be people today who can get healing, can get deliverance, and yet they don't have God's Spirit. They're not baptized because it's just a law. But there is another level, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. It says that there is a law of faith. The Bible says that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. That's a law, the law of sowing and reaping. So there are many things that God has set up, spiritual laws, just as much as natural laws, that we are not as much attuned to. But if we do them, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're saved, because the Bible says he sends the rain on what? The just and the unjust. But now I'm talking about the next level. I'm talking about having power with God. I'm talking about going to the next level. And how do we do that? Well, let's see. As it says here, because faith is a law, there's people who can use it who don't necessarily believe everything that we believe as far as truth goes, or even be filled with the Spirit. But let's look at this. So the law of faith enables miracles. Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed, and seeing Jesus, seeing their faith, he saw their faith. Do you know that Jesus can see your faith? How did he see their faith? By their actions. What did they do so that he could see their faith? They brought this man who was lame on a pallet. He saw their faith. But Jesus, let's look at another scripture. But Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." So now what I'm showing is examples of people using the law of faith. Look at Matthew 9:29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What I'm trying to show you is there's more than one way of getting the miraculous. This way is just using the law of faith. Luke 5:50. And he said unto them, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Go in peace. Now, what about the man at the pool of Siloam? He'd been there 38 years. He didn't even know who Jesus was. How did he get healed? When Jesus said, "Would you be healed?" he said, "I don't have anyone to put me into the pool." So in his case, he was not operating on his faith, was he? Because he didn't even know who this was. When they asked him who it was who healed you, he said he doesn't know. So he couldn't have had faith in Jesus to be healed. He couldn't have had faith in anything to be healed. But yet he was healed. So what I'm trying to show you is that there is more than one avenue to be healed. There's the law of faith, where it's your faith using the law of faith that enables the miracle. But there are examples in Scripture where the person had no faith, didn't even know who was talking to him. And I think this is why Jesus used this example. All he said, do you want to be healed? The man said, "I have no one to put me into the pool." That's all he said. Jesus didn't say to him, "Do you believe?" Because Jesus already knew he had no idea about belief. And so I want to show you another way of getting miracles. The law of faith, therefore, works without knowing Jesus. Matthew 7:22, many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto you them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, man has learned many laws that God has created. Does that mean they are saved because they're using God's laws? No. And just because they've even discerned the spiritual laws does not mean that you're saved. Because he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. So the law of faith can work if you have faith in yourself, if the faith is coming from you. But what I'm trying to show you is there is a better way. Amen. The thing that stops the law of faith, though, is doubt. Doubt and unbelief stops the law of faith. In Mark 6, 5, it says, and he could there do no mighty works when he went through certain towns, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus marveled two times for people having great faith, but this time he marveled because of their lack of faith. Why should they have such small faith when they now had seen the miracles that he had done? It wasn't that they didn't know that this was possible because they had seen and heard about it, that blinded eyes be opened, but they had so much unbelief that they couldn't even use the law of faith. And he marveled because of their unbelief. But he still went around teaching in the villages. So here's the thing. The problem in using the law of faith alone is that it depends upon your faith. Right? It depends upon our own personal faith. Right? To get healed. If that's all you're going to use, then your faith is going to have to be strong. And how much unbelief you have. So if you're going to use the law of faith, that is, you don't have to know Jesus personally, you don't have to understand that, you're just going to use the fact, just as how we use gravity, then your faith is going to have to be personally strong. Let's look at this. Luke 17, 5. Jesus was telling them about the law of faith. And the apostle said, well, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, if you have faith and doubt, again, this is all speaking about the law of faith, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, when he cursed the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So if you personally have enough faith to use the law of faith, then Jesus is saying you can do it. That doesn't mean you're saved or anything. There are many, many people who have had miracles, as the scripture just said, and Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. How is that possible? The reason is they're using the law of faith. That's all. It doesn't mean that they are filled with the Spirit necessarily or anything else. So you can use the law of faith that way if you have personal faith that's strong. And you can get things done. But that's not the best way. That's not the best way. The law of faith, and faith as the Bible teaches it, is primarily a defensive weapon. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, let's see if I can say this without... I don't know if I can say it, but let me put it in this way then. It's when you have been attacked is when you need the shield, right? That's when you need the shield. If you're not being attacked, you don't need the shield, but it's when your faith then is really proved under test, is what I'm saying. Anyone been tested this year? Been tested this year? Devil had some fiery darts thrown at you? Amen. That's when you needed the shield of faith. This is when you had to say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I believe you anyway. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I trust you anyway, even though it looks impossible. And the greatest thing that Satan will come and try and tell you is, it's your fault and you messed up, so you deserve what's happening to you. He'll come and tell you, you deserve this. So stop praying to God and asking him, because you're just getting what you deserve. Well, the truth is, Jesus took what we deserved. That's the truth. So you need to tell Satan that he's a liar. The case was dismissed 2,000 years ago. But that's what his greatest witness said. You deserve what's happening to you because you messed up. And this is where your shield of faith. You have to really take that shield of faith and said, through faith I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can make it because he still loves me. Anyone here have children? Were your children angels from the time they were born till now? But you know, Sister Mary, I know you love your son. Amen. You see, the devil would want to tell us that God, there's some point when God says, I don't love you. And that's not true. And this is where the shield of faith comes in. Remember what he told Peter. And when you have been converted, go strengthen. It was really that, I think, that kept Peter going after he realized what he had done. At some point, he realized, wait a minute. He did say I was going to mess up, but he then said, when I had been converted, that there was still a plan for my life. God still wanted to use me to help others. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how God can still use you? When you have been converted now, that's the case. If you're not been converted, he can't use you. But Peter, when you have come to your senses, when you have repented, go strengthen your brethren. Isn't that amazing how God can do that, Sister Brownie?
As well, I was listening to a preacher yesterday, and he drew the attention to the fact that when he told Peter, you're going to be sifted as wheat, that he didn't pray that his trial or his temptation would be taken away from him. He didn't even pray for his physical body. He prayed for his faith.
That's right. And that's what I said. You probably weren't in here when I said, but that to me was the greatest thing when I was smaller, trying to understand the Bible. Like, God, Jesus, why didn't you just tell Satan, you could command him to leave him alone? Why just tell him, leave him alone? But that's not what Jesus said. He said, I pray for your faith. And I'm going, but Lord, just tell him to leave him alone. But you understand, we are going to be tested. Jesus was tested, so we are going to be tested. But the key is belief in trusting God and leaning not on our own understanding. And truly, the thing that faith rests upon, anyone know what faith rests upon? The greatest of these three is love. That's what you have to believe, that God loves you. If you truly believe God loves you, then you can have faith. If you don't believe God loves you, then you're not going to have much faith. So faith rests upon the condition that you truly believe, first of all, that God still loves you. Sister Audrey.
It's funny that you said this. Yesterday I had a situation that somebody said something to me, and it totally caught me off guard. And literally I felt like they said it to hurt me, and I literally felt like my heart, like, sank down into my stomach, and I almost started crying, and I wanted to say something to this person, like, really honestly, I wanted to put a curse on them, but then I said, the Lord, like, held my tongue, and I didn't even rebuttal. I said something, like, friendly, and just, you know, walked away, and I literally had to go in my office, and I was like, oh my God, like, that took everything in me, and I had to, like, get my scripture prayer list out and turn on a song and, like, totally, like, re-get my faith back up, because it actually kind of, like made me kind of shake. And I, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? Where did this come from? So this is so true about the faith shield.
Amen. Amen. So I keep saying that there's a better way. So I'm preparing to go there now. So faith alone can get you a miracle. Remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus? They obeyed. They had faith that if they did what he told them, it would happen. But how many of them actually came back to continue the relationship? Only one. That shows you that you can get your miracle. That doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. Only one came back to thank him. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That tells us that we're all building something, right? That's what it's saying. We're all building something in the kingdom of God. What are you building and what is your material? Paul goes on to say, every man's work shall be made manifest. It means it's going to be tested, right? It's going to be tested. When we were down in Florida, I noticed that all the homes down there, especially the millionaires and billionaires, they were all concrete. Did you notice that? All of them were like concrete buildings. I figured, okay, I know why, because of hurricanes. Your work is going to be tested. Your work was tested, you see. Whether you are a Christian or not, or were you going to give back in kind and give them a piece of your mind? Well, yeah, several of them were built on rocks too. Every man's work. Did it say some? It says every man's work. None of us are going to be excused for hardship. You can't say, okay, I'm not going to go through testing this week. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed how? By fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Okay, so I said that you can get lots of things if your own personal faith is strong enough. But what if your faith is not strong enough? What if your faith is like that man at the pool of Siloam and all you can see is your need? That's all he could see, right? I've been here for 38 years. He saw his need. He couldn't see beyond it. He didn't even know who was standing there. How do you get your miracle then? Well, obviously it's got to depend on somebody else. It's got to come from outside of you. So what is the answer? Well, as I said, the disciples who had been with Jesus all this time already had faith. But there is another level. There is more that you can have. You can operate under the law of faith, but you can operate at a much higher level. And this is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Luke 9:1, then he called his disciples together and gave them of power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. This is above the law of faith, is what I'm trying to tell you. He gave them authority. He gave them authority so that they did not have to depend just upon their faith. They could act upon whose authority? Whose faith? Whose power? Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? They could operate on the law of faith, but that really depends upon me and how much I can do and how much I believe. But when he gave them authority, they weren't saying, I'm coming to fight you, devil. They said, he's coming to fight you, devil. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. See, they were given authority and power. So this is the answer. And gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. The proof of this is, of course, the seven sons of Sceva, right? They had faith, or else they wouldn't be trying to cast out the devil. But they did not have authority or power. It wasn't given to them. That's why he said, Peter, I know, and who are you? They had faith. They believed they could do it. But in this case, their belief was not enough because they had not been given authority and power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's look at this. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 27, and they were all amazed insomuch they questioned amongst themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? This is the Pharisees. For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they to obey him. When I have power, I'm trying to explain this. If I'm driving a big Caterpillar tractor, I don't have to have faith in the power. I don't have to believe I have power because I can see it. I can actually use it. So that's where the law of faith does not even so much come in. Yes, I have to get in there and believe I can start, but I can use the power that has been given to me. Are you following what I'm saying? For they said, with authority commandeth he even unclean spirits. And they had to obey him. They had to obey him. So let me show you. I said about the seven sons of Sceva, and that's in Acts 19:13, to show you the difference. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. They had faith, but not enough faith. As I said, what they didn't have was authority. They did not have the authority to do what they were trying to do. And so sometimes what we have to make sure when we're praying for people is not only that we have faith, we do need faith, but we have to pray in the Spirit, which is what gives us authority. Remember, Jesus said, go and tarry at Jerusalem until what? Till you be endued with power. That's what they needed. And it's only when we are using the Spirit will we get that power and authority. When we just pray for people using the law of faith, it's going to depend on what we can do and how much faith we have. But if we are praying through the Spirit with the authority and the dominion and the power, then it's not us. We're just a channel. See, these people, they had faith, and they were relying just upon the law of faith. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They believed. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And you know the story. The demons just said, well, Peter we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And we know you don't have the authority. You have faith, and we're going to talk back to you. And more than that, we're going to jump on you. So they had the faith, but no authority. So this is what we need. Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Jesus, in this parable, was setting up what he was going to do. Look at this parable. Who left his house and did what? Gave authority to his servants. That meant they could act as if he was there. That meant they could decide things as if the king was there. They had the power to decide things for the household because he gave them the authority to do so. Do you understand the difference? They were given delegated authority. He gave his servants authority to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. He delegated to them the authority. That means that when bills came due, they had the authority to take care of it. They didn't have to say, well, we can't handle this. We've got to wait till the king comes back. No, he gave them the authority. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is we can act in the law of faith, which just depends upon our faith, or if we let the Spirit flow through us, we can act through delegated authority. And when we do that, I'm telling you, things are going to have to happen because it's not us. When we are acting through the delegated authority and dominion through the Spirit, it's the anointing, the Bible says, that will break the yoke. And what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes I think when we pray, we are praying just based upon the law of faith and our faith. My faith is not strong enough. But when it's Jesus, when it's delegated authority, then it's going to have to happen. To every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. So let me look at this. Matthew 8:9 tells a story of how this works. There was a centurion, and he understood this concept of authority. And so a centurion came to Jesus. And this is what he said. Listen closely. Remember now, the other scripture says he marveled at what? Their unbelief. But here was somebody who understood this concept of authority. For I'm a man under authority and having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. See, he understood. And he told Jesus, listen, I understand. You have the authority. All you have to say is be healed. You don't even have to come to my house. You don't even have to, you just have to say, be healed. He was not trying to use the law of faith. He wasn't basing this on his faith. But he knew who had authority. He knew who had the authority. And he said, all you have to say is be healed. And I know it will happen. And the Bible says, as he was going home, his servants met him. And when he inquired as to the time, it was the same time that Jesus said, according to your word. In other words, he let him have delegated authority because based upon what he said is what happened. Do this and he doeth it. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight, we can pray in faith and using the law of faith. And if your faith is strong, you can get your miracle. But if your faith is not strong enough, it's better to pray through the Spirit with the delegated authority. That's what God gave us. He said, I'm going to give you, just as the servant, the householder gave the servants, he gave them authority. That means, do you understand that we have authority if we're walking through the Spirit? When we pray, we should be able to just declare things in the name of Jesus. As a servant of the Most High God, we should be able to say, Satan, you're a liar. You are not going to have my family. You're not going to make me sick. You're not going to kill me with cancer. We have that delegated authority. And so sometimes when we pray and we don't see it happen, I believe it's because we're basing it upon our faith. And if we do that, our faith may not be strong enough. The disciples said we couldn't cast out this demon. Why, Sister Mary?
You know, this morning when I woke up, I was feeling pretty lousy. But I thought about if I just began to worship God, yes, and begin to trust and bring in his presence by faith, I would be fine. And true enough, I was fine. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. 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 I'm telling you that once we understand the laws, the more we understand the spiritual laws, the more we will be able to use them. And as I said, there is a law of faith that doesn't depend upon anything else. But when you have a relationship, when you have a relationship, you can ask. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, right, then you can ask. See, you don't have to ask if you just want the law of faith, but then it really depends upon how much your belief is and how strong your faith is. But when you have delegated power through the Spirit, then you can ask. Not only that, you can declare some things in the name of Jesus, and it shall happen. My parents were great examples of that.
Yes, they were.
They were. I wish I could. I wish I had the experiences that they had, where they could just point to things and it would happen. Sister Michelle.
I have a question. So you're saying that through faith in Jesus Christ, so if I have the Holy Ghost, without even laying hands on someone and they're, say, in a different city, I could actually pray for them?
Absolutely.
And, okay, so if I think someone's possessed and I pray for them and I command those demons to leave in the name of Jesus, they could actually hop out of him.
I believe that the Bible said he did not put a limit on it. He said, you shall ask in my name. He didn't say, you shall ask only if they live in the same city. So, to me, there is no limit on what God can do, except our faith and our relationship, okay, and the Spirit. But here is the key, too. Diligently. Diligently. As I said, I've noticed something over the last few months. Anything I pray for, and it's not a long prayer, but I've made a policy of calling certain things in prayer every morning, the same thing over and over again. Just I don't spend too much. I just say, Lord, do this. And I've seen things happen. I'm seeing it happen. Really. I'm seeing things happen, Amen. Sister.
Amen. I just have to share when you said no limit, because last year we were selling pies, and I kept telling Melissa, there's no limit what God could do. So it wasn't me that was selling the pies. It was God that was selling the pies. And God is the witness that I raised with his help over $1,000 with his help.
Amen.
So it wasn't just me. It was my word that I kept telling Melissa. I said, no limit. So how many pies can you make? I said, I'm not putting any limit on what God could do. And I just kept saying it and kept saying it. And God just multiplied and multiplied. And that's how
Amen.
All that money.
Amen.
Money.
I mean, and that was used to help the young people go to the Midwinter Conference and also to the North American Youth Conference. I'm telling you, we limit God. We limit God. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. That doesn't mean we're not going to have things come against us. But if we walk in the Spirit, if we walk, the Bible says, and not after the flesh, I believe we've been given dominion and authority. That's what he told the disciples, go wait at Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power. Power. What kind of power? Well, certainly the power to live from sin, but also the power to exercise God's gifts of miracles, signs, and wonders. But it can't, if you're going to do it through the law of faith, you're just going to have a lot of faith personally. But I don't have that great of faith. But I tell you this, I have seen God do things over and over again. Really, every time I go into work, it's his miracle. I really do think so, because here I am, you know, not altogether knowing what I'm doing, but God always just makes me seem so good that I'm not any good. I know you guys don't understand that, but I understand it. All glory to him. All glory to him, because I've learned that I'm not as good as my mother used to make me think I was. It's really his doing. His doing. Look, the man said, look, I said this servant, go, and he goeth to another, come, and he cometh, and to do my to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When they were in the boat and the storm was coming up, Jesus said to them, O ye of what? Little faith. Little faith. They should have seen who was in their boat. Think about who was in their boat. The person who made this whole universe. The person who made the whole universe. The being who created the clouds, the air that they breathed, every molecule that was coming in the boat. Isn't that true? You know, and he just, now it could have been a spiritual, you know, it could have been a demonically engineered storm, because the Bible said he rebuked it. He didn't just say peace, the Bible says he rebuked it. But still, he had the authority, and when he gives you the authority, you can rebuke it too. Yes. Amen. And the thing with us is, I think we pray for things too much using the law of faith instead of through the authority and dominion. And when we pray in the authority and dominion, I believe it will be done. As long as we don't put ourselves front and center. I am here under the authority of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in my name, not because I'm pastor, not because I'm anything. Do you understand that a policeman could be 5'6" or 6'7"? They both have the same authority. And the 5'6" guy tells you, stop. You should stop. Right? Not because the 6'7" guy tells you, stop. What I'm saying is, it's not about us. It's because of the uniform. When you have put on Christ, you have authority. Right? When you have put on Christ in baptism with the Holy Spirit, then you have authority. And I'm looking for some miracles this year, because I'm just going to keep praying my little prayer every morning and calling some things that are not as though they be. And I'm, you know, when my son got healed, Matthew, that was the key. Every night I would pray, Lord, open his understanding. For months, I pray that every single night. And it took a while, but the miracle came. And when it came, they were just amazed. And it just happened within 2 years. They had to take him out of special ed. They took him out of this. And then he graduated with everybody else with a good grade. And as you know today, he's fine, has children. But it was God's miraculous power that did that. Amen. Let's look at that. Faith, then, is the shield. The authority or the command is the sword. I want you to see the difference. Faith is the shield, but the authority is the sword that actually gets things done. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. It's the word that you speak that is the action for your faith. Remember, in the scripture I quoted, he saw their faith. How? Because there was an action behind it. Now, you may not be bringing a blind person or carrying a lame person, but when you declare healing, when you continue to declare healing and call it over yourself and call it over the situation and be diligent about it, what you're doing is you are making what's in the spiritual realm become manifest. Sister Jeanette.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I just was thinking about the scripture, according to my word, command ye me, the authority that's in the word. And he tells us to command his word.
Amen. That's a good scripture. It's through the word that we can get the power applied. That's a very good scripture. In Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered and said unto them, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. How did Jesus use the word? He used the word. The written word. We want to use our own words, but it'd be best if we stand upon the promises of God.
Yes.
For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, we have been promised authority and power, not just faith, because the Bible says everybody has been given what? The measure of faith. And so if that was all it was, then it would be dependent on how I could use my faith, which sometimes may be very weak. Satan wants to just blow it away. But when we stand upon his word, his authority, again, the man at the pool of Siloam didn't even know who Jesus was. He had no faith. All he could see was his problem. Many times that's what all Satan wants to do is show you the problem and make you concentrate on the problem. And if it's up to you and your faith, you would never get delivered. But this is where you have to call upon the authority and the dominion of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because without that, it's just about your faith. And sometimes we'll pray for days and say, Lord, heal him. And what we're really doing is depending upon us. See, if the 5'6" guy came out and did this in the middle of the street and he had no uniform on, you know what most cars would do? Just go around him or think he's a crazy person. But if he comes in to the middle of the street and he's got the police uniform on and the truncheon and he does this, everybody's going to stop. What's the difference? Not him. He's got the authority uniform on. When we're clothed with the Spirit of Christ and when we put the uniform on, then we have power. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 24:49. And you can stand. See, I'm doing very good. 8 o'clock. And behold, I send the promise. Can God break his word? The Bible says, by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. If God says, I promise, even though the vision tarry, wait upon it, it's going to happen. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Okay, maybe 25 years, but it's going to happen. So if God says, I promise that I'm going to endue you with power from on high, we can believe it. We can bank upon it. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, but wait. They were the only people who had to wait, to be honest. Only the disciples were told to wait. We don't have to wait. If we are ready to receive that power and authority, we can get it now. You know what it means? Go put on the uniform. Then you can go stand in the street and say, stop. And he's got nothing else but his hand, but he's got the uniform. The same person can go out there with just some ordinary clothes and people be going, there's a crazy guy in the middle of the street. Let's go around him. But when you have the uniform, and the devils know it. I got to obey that because they're not doing it in their selves. They're covered in Christ. I can't disobey that. That is the authority because the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. It goes even further. It says of things in heaven, things in earth, and even under the sea, everything has got to obey and bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And this is the key. When we start to walk in the Spirit, when we put on the whole armor of God, the uniform, and Satan sees it, and then we say, stop, that's when he's got to stop. If we just go out there in our own self and say, stop, he's going to say, oh, there's a crazy person standing in the middle of the street. But I'm trying to tell you the difference between the law of faith and receiving authority and dominion. When they had received authority and dominion, the Bible said they went out and they were amazed, which tells you that they had some unbelief because they were surprised. Hey, they came back shouting and rejoicing. Even the devils run away from us. It was because they had another level. They had gone beyond the law of faith to receiving authority and dominion. And I believe today, if you're filled with the Spirit, you just have to change the way you think about when you pray for things. Think about it as praying through the authority and dominion of the King of Kings. Stop thinking about it as my faith has got to get stronger. I think a lot of times that's why our prayer doesn't, because we're thinking about it as if it's something I've got to do. Now, yes, you have to have the measure of faith, but really your measure of faith is not going to be strong enough. In fact, some interpretations say when it says have God's faith, have God's faith. And with God's faith, that's really depending upon his authority, depending upon his authority. Until he be endued with power from on high. The truth is, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means there's nothing I could do, no fleshly power, no shouting, no trying to scare the devil. He's not scared of me in the least. Unless I have the uniform, unless I have the whole armor of God, and if I have the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, girth around with truth, my shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, which is the authority of God, then he's going to have to go away. Once I've submitted to God, then the Bible says we can resist Satan, and he shall flee. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, is what the scripture says, through God, not through me, not through my knowledge, not through my fasting, or even my praying, but it's mighty through God. The man at the pool of Siloam, how much did he pray for healing? All he could see was his issue. Maybe tonight all you can see is what you're dealing with. But yet God's grace and mercy came and said, would you like to be made whole? Again, he didn't even give the right answer. Jesus just said, pick up your bed and walk. But he obeyed. And I can imagine that he was just totally shocked because he had no faith. But what was exercised in that circumstance was authority, dominion, and power. Because the person who was speaking to him created that very flesh, that body. The person who can speak through you tonight is the person who spoke these worlds into existence. So all you have to do is be a channel for the Holy Spirit and exercise dominion. When you pray next time for someone, do not think about it as how much faith you have, but speak as under the authority. I am the servant who was left the delegated power. I have the right to make a decision because my king left me in charge. That's the way you got to think about it. He gave. Jesus told the parable. He said, a king went away and he delegated to his servants authority. Do you understand that's what's happened? But if you don't know it, when the bill comes, you say, I don't know if I can pay this. I don't know if I have the authority. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is you have been given the authority. Don't talk about you doing it. Talk as if he's doing it. I can settle this right now because he told me I have the authority. And when we operate in that vein on faith, using the dominion we have been given, I challenge you, you're going to have to come Sunday, and all we'll have is praise reports. That's all we'll be able to have. When we start to walk in the authority and have the uniform on. I'm trying to close. I said we were finished, and I kept on going. But I just want to get to you tonight the difference between the law of faith and operating in dominion and authority. You understand that the law of faith was the shield, and that's great. But to get anything done, you had to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the authority. Isn't that what the centurion said? You just have to speak the word. That's all you have, because I am a man under authority, and that's how it works. Hallelujah. You got some issues. Don't think about it anymore as how much faith you have. You don't have to have any faith as far as yourself, but you have to have God's faith and believe that he has made you a servant and he has given you authority. So when James and John went up to the temple, they said, we don't have any money. But they knew they had been given authority. And such as we have, we say unto you, arise, get up and walk. Isn't that amazing? Imagine if we were exercising that. This church would be full. We need to start practicing, right? We need to start practicing. They call a doctor's operation a practice. Well, we need to have some spiritual practices going on. We need to be like Elijah and say, Elisha, like, where is the God of Elijah? I'm going to try this. He promised me that if I saw him go up, I'd have double the authority. I'm going to take his mantle and say, where is the God of Elijah? I have been having some successes. They're all great, because to me it's just great what God has been doing miraculously. But I challenge you not to be of self, but to say through the dominion given that we have authority and power. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. Let this word, oh God, be an encouragement, Lord Jesus, as we, oh God, use the delegated authority that as your servants, God, you have given us authority over every device of the enemy. Lord, we claim it right now. Lord, help us, oh God, to understand your word and to be able to use it against the enemy, against sickness, against disease, against despair and doubt. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, for filling our hearts with faith. Let our faith meet your word. Help us to stand upon your promises. Lord, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for blessing. We thank you for operation of your gifts.